in Matthew 13 today. I want to look at the topic of the attack on the Word. In Matthew 13, we'll start there. A very, very familiar parable you're all aware of, but I thought we'd take a look at it today. Matthew 13. And in verse 3, it says, "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." There's a solemn thing Jesus Christ said to those men there, or whoever was there. And he said, if you got ears to hear, he said, listen up. And that's what I really wanted to share today, is a solemn warning to you, myself as well, on the attack of the Word of God that goes on in your life and my life. And we have to be cognizant of that attack, because the Word of God tells us it's happening. So when God tells us something in His Word, we ought to take solemn warning to what He says. So he explains his parable to them back in down verse 19. He says, verse 18, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." So he explains them. "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside." I can go back to when I first heard God's word. There was number of opportunities, a number of attacks, an attempt to take away the word of God that we had just learned. And you see it time and time again. Constantly you see. So, you know, what's the word I'm trying to think of? You can't be too overcautious to pray for those who you speak the word of God to, because this is what the word says the devil will do to those who hear God's word. He will do what he can to go and grab that word out as fast as possible. And I'm thankful to the prayers of many people when we first got into God's word that we're still here. And, you know, you cannot underestimate the value of your prayer. Because here it says, he will do this. He's actively at work trying to take the word of God from people. Verse 20. "But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but, you know, hangs around for a while, endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word," because of the word, "by and by he is offended." And, you know, the same parable in Luke, it says temptation arises because of the word. And here it's because of the word. How does the devil steal the word from a person's mind? How does he do that? You know, it says that he comes and steals the word out of their heart. How do you do that? Well, you give them something else to put there instead of the word. You just replace it with other things. And you will constantly keep on replacing and replacing and replacing it with other things. Guess what? The word's gone. You know, so we, you know, to me, I really like, okay, I got to be very careful what I allow into here on a regular basis. Because he will, I mean, it's not like if you've been around for a few years, he gives up. It's not how it works. We'll see that. It doesn't work that way. I need to be very careful what I put into my mind, what I allow to entertain, my mind to entertain. And how do you develop a root? He goes, this guy, you know, this guy he's talking about, this person hangs around for, but doesn't develop. How do you develop a root? How do you root something? How do you get roots into God's word? Not complicated. You read it. And you read it. And you read it. You think about it. You ask God for understanding. You study it. You do what you can to understand it. And eventually you do enough of that. And guess what? You develop a root. And so when you get offended because of the word, it doesn't shake you. But without that root, you can be shaken. That's what the word said. I didn't make that up. That's what it says here. Person is no root, and then they hang around for a while, and they go. We don't want to be in those categories at all. Verse 22. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. So here we are again. You know, all these attacks originate from the same source. We know that. Where does deceitfulness of riches come from? Where do all these things come from that attack the word of God? From the devil, directly from the adversary. And here it says, he that receives the seed. You know, we all live among the thorns. It's not like we don't live among the thorns. Are there cares of the world around you? Are there deceitfulness of riches around you? Are all these things always around? Yeah. They absolutely are always around you. Whether we allow those things to choke the word of God in our life or not, that's up to us. They're always there. And they're always going to be there. Whether I allow that to choke the word in my life is up to me. And that's my decision. Remember the garden? We weren't there, but you know, remember reading about it? What happened to Eve? What does it say there? When she saw, pleasant to the eyes, fruit to be desired, all those things, a tree to be desired, you know, and just all those things, the deceitfulness of riches and all these pleasures that were there, what did that allow the adversary to do? And, you know, this should be a solemn warning to us. It's the first record in the Bible about the devil. And what does he do? What does it say? He is more subtle than all the beasts. And what did he use the subtlety for? He took her from thou shalt surely die to thou shalt not die, surely die. He got her to completely change the word of God. And that's what he used his subtlety for. And that's the first recorded thing about, you know, the adversary and his characteristics in the Bible. He used that to get her off of God's word. That's what he did. You think he stopped in your life? Not a chance. The first attack, it should be a wake-up call for us, a solemn warning for what the devil tries to do. How about the record, we won't read it today, but the record of Jesus in the wilderness. Remember that record? Of course you do, and I'm sure you've read it many times. The only defense that Jesus Christ had in that record that we made available is what? It is written. It is written. You know, here we are, the first attack. And we see the Lord Himself use the Word of God that He understood. Not, I don't mean just any Word of God, the right Word of God for the right time. That's important. That's how we grow. We speak the right Word the right time. That's required. And that's what He did. And it was the Word of God that got Him out of the devil himself. You know, personal presence in this case shows up to Him and He deals with it by it is written. But the attack was on what? It was on the Word of God, was it not? Look at Romans chapter 10. And here's the part that not really laugh at, but it's interesting that some people think they are immune to the attack of the adversary. Oh, he's not going to trick me. Well, if I think that I'm immune to the attack of the adversary, then I'm obviously wiser than Jesus Christ. Because he wasn't immune to the attack of the adversary, was he? No. Not at all. He got attacked regularly. So, you know, if we think he can't attack us, then we're deceived. And his subtlety has gotten to us. The only wake-up call is we stay in the Word. We stay in the Word. We don't let someone take it away from us. We don't. And those we get the opportunity to speak God's Word to, we do everything we can to make sure that they keep the word, because, you know, it's a battle for them. And we, you know, he starts right there, immediately tries to grab it, and then that doesn't work. He tries to get him with the pleasures and pressures. That doesn't work. He tries to do all, everything he possibly can to get the word out from their lives, from our lives. Never stops. In Romans chapter 10, verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Kind of very obvious and simple statements. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. If you ever wanted to have beautiful feet, that's how you do it. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, believing or faith cometh by what? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The only way to believe God is by way of his word. That's the only way to believe him. If someone has never heard his word, they can't believe that. It's rather simple, but it's the truth. And it says right here, so believing comes by hearing, and hearing by way of the word. So the adversary will do whatever he can in your life to make sure you don't hear the word. Whether it's by you reading it, listening to it, thinking about it, memorizing verses, whatever you do in your life, you know, it doesn't matter. But you can be darn sure that he will do what he can to make sure that you don't hear it. Because why? Because if you hear it, you now have the possibility of believing God. And he doesn't want that. He doesn't want you to believe God. Not at all. So he will do. So, you know, you can look in your own life and say, okay, now, you know, what happens in my life? You know, and again, everybody has their own life. They have their own schedules. They have their own, you know, things that we all go through every single day. We all have 24 hours a day. You know, I think. 24 hours a day. How we divide those 24 hours a day up is up to us. And I, you know, I can, you know, so just, you know, if you maybe take the opportunity after this fellowship to think through a day that you live and say, can I think of cases where I could have gotten to the Word, but something came up and prevented me from getting to the Word of God? Now, and that's probably something we ought to do for the rest of our lives. What is it that gets in the way of me getting to God's Word? Basically, which gets in the way of us learning and getting to believe God's word, because faith comes by hearing, and I've got to hear it in order to believe it. So what is it? You know, what do I allow? What schedules do I set up? Is my daily 24-hour day, is it a godly schedule? Is it a schedule that honors God, the God who created the heavens and the earth, who has committed to me the word of reconciliation, who had his son die for me, who I'm going to spend the rest of my eternity with? Is that a schedule that honors him? And that's only, you can only answer that, I can answer for myself. But think about it. Think about the solemn warnings that are in God's word that says the devil is after the word of God in your life. What do you got to do to protect the word and guard the word in your life? What do you have to do? In Acts chapter 4, there are 100 examples in the Bible about this. I mean, you know it. I mean, you know, Dale, you were mentioning some things there. All they were trying to do was trap Jesus Christ. You know, there's so many examples. Here's another example, Acts chapter 4, verse 9. If we this day be examined, this is when he healed that man, of the good deed done to the impotent man by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. He's speaking the word here. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Boy, what a great message we can tell people in the world. There's no other name. Name of Allah doesn't get you salvation, does it? Buddha, Krishna, Vishnu, you name it. None of those names. This is the only one. Tell people. That's what they were doing here. Now, when they saw the boldness, verse 13, of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned, ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They said, whoa, these guys have been with Jesus. They sound like him. And behold, the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. And I always ask the question, why would you want to? He just got healed. Wouldn't you want to say something for it? That's the devil. Watch the devil right throughout this, okay? That's the adversary. The same thing he's trying to do as read in Matthew 13. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, verse 16, saying, well, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, and is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem. We can't deny it. They wanted to, didn't they? They wanted to deny it, but they couldn't deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Matthew 13. You know exactly what it is? The adversary doing whatever he can to make sure that the word is not made known. And the opposite, in Acts chapter 5, this is again the same as the thou shalt not, thou shalt surely die, thou shalt not surely die. Here he says, don't speak. Acts 5:16. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed everyone. Love that verse. Then the high priest rose up, and all that they were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation because everyone was healed. Boy, you see the adversaries marked throughout these records. Indignation at the deliverance of many, many people. And laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord, by night, opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said the exact opposite to what they told them in Acts 4. Go, stand, and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. The adversary, don't you dare speak. God, you go and speak. Don't speak, speak. Just right down the line. Enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. Just all the way right down the line. You see it time and time again. The word of God is at stake. It's always the word of God that's at stake. In 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 2. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. This is Paul and company. They've done this. They weren't walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending our conscience, ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So they were doing the best they could to make known God's word. They weren't doing that, you know, any bad reasons or, you know, other motives. But if our gospel be hid, you know, despite the fact that they were speaking the word, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Why? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. See that? Time and time again. It's the adversary who blinds the minds of people to the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ isn't made known. I'm sure you can think, sitting here quietly, you're in your mind. Now think of cases where maybe I should have gotten to the Word, or I could have spoken the Word, or I should have studied the Word, or I should have taught the Word, and I didn't do it because this, and this came up. Just think about it. Don't let those moments in time pass you by without really seriously taking a look at why those things happen in your life. It says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against an adversary who's very subtle. Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world. That's what it says. And they do not want the word of God made known. And guess what you carry with you? The word of God. Word of God that's not been known like you guys know it for many, many hundreds of years. You guys carry so much, and we carry so much of the truth. And yet, how many times is it squashed, is it put aside, or by the adversary? Because he doesn't want to make it known. See? So it says right there, I didn't write this. In John 17, the systems of the world are so oriented, and more and more and more as we go, to dismissing the word of God. Let's consider one of the biggest organizations on the face of the earth, the Roman Catholic Church. Not that I'm trying to be critical of any church, but how much in that church and churches that are very similar to that are the scriptures themselves front and center? Right? Pretty much zero. And yet you have millions and millions upon millions of people who worship regularly at these institutions, and the scriptures are not made known. We've been to them. I've been to these services. What about the scriptures? So the adversary has all but succeeded in many cases of taking the Word of God out of what are supposed to be Christian word-centered organizations. More and more. It's just, it's unbelievable, but that's what happens. Faith comes by hearing, right? You will find yourself constantly distracted from hearing God's Word. Watch for it this week, okay? You just watch in your own life. You know, sometimes you make the intention, you know, I'm going to study here. I'm going to spend an hour. I'm going to read this. And then all of a sudden something comes up. Something, somebody calls you, a friend calls this, or something comes up. And always something is elevated to more importance than your time in the Word of God. Just watch for it. You know, this is not to be critical of you, or I mean, it happens to me. It happens to all of us because the Word of God says the adversary is after the Word of God. Who was the Word in the flesh?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ, right? He's the Word. Isn't he called the Word in the flesh? The Word of God incarnate. You know, okay. He's the Word of God in the flesh. He represented the Word. So from the day that he was born until the day that he was crucified, can you think of a single attack on his life? Well, what was the adversary after? He's after the Word. Even so marked that he had all the children in the Jerusalem area killed from 2 years old and under. I can't even get my mind around that. You know how evil that was? He's after the Word. Every moment, every day, every time. It says in the wilderness, he departed for him for a season. He didn't say, okay, that's fine, you know, you believe the Word. No, he just constantly, you know, like the record you were talking about, the man, you know, will he heal him? Oh, he did the Sabbath day, he can't do that. Constant attacks until at the end where they did not kill him. Jesus Christ laid down his life. They did not kill him. He laid down his life for you and for me because it was finished. It's completed. He was able to do what needed to be done. And he successfully weaved his way through the web of the adversary until he accomplished what he had to do. But there's make no mistake about it. He was after him every moment of every day because he was the Word. So think about that. Think about that in your image. You got the Word. The adversary is after the Word in your life. In sickness, you know, I'm saying you're always going to be distracted from the Word of God. The distraction during sickness are the symptoms of your sickness. When you're sick, the symptoms of your sickness are the things the adversary uses to distract you from the Word of God. The Word of God is written. It says, by His stripes we are healed. His Word is settled in the heavens. He can't change his word. Every jot and every tittle will come to pass, including the promises about healing, yet the symptoms will try to distract you from that. So we need to keep our mind on the Word, because that is a certainty. God has underlined it, and so he'll try to distract you. John 17, Jesus Christ was the living Word, and what did he do in his life? John 17, 14. And then immediately, I'm in Acts. It doesn't look anything like the verse I was going to read. John 17, 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Why? Because they don't want the world to be made known. And they'll hate you too. That promise is somewhere else, right? It talks about they're going to hate you as well because you carry the word. Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, that should keep them from the evil. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. We heard that in the manifestations today. Thy word is truth. In Acts 20, Jesus Christ constantly attacked from birth, discredited. Remember Paul the Apostle, even himself, what happened to Paul? Because he carried the word, didn't he? He says, all day in Asia, be turned away from me. Oh, he's in prison. I don't want to hang out with a jailbird. They discredited him. Not so much that he was discredited, but the message was discredited. The word was discredited. That's what the adversary did to Paul, tried to do to Paul. Thankfully, the word is still alive. Acts 20, verse 16. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible, for him to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. You know, he had spoken the word to them before he called them for a meeting. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me. See, was the adversary after the word in his life? Constantly. By the lying in wait of the Jews. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. What did he teach them? The word. He taught them the word. He said, this is how you're going to, this is what you need to understand. Testifying both the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Same things we talk about here. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Let's go down to verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. He said, I didn't stop. I didn't hold anything back from you. I taught you God's word. Verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God. With what? With the word, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. How? What does that mean? What does it mean? Wolves are going to come in, they're going to, you know, bite them in the ankles and stuff? No. It says here, also of your own men shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Something else other than the word of God. That was the attack. It was always in the word. And the way they were going to do it in this fellowships was they were going to teach something other than the word and draw disciples away after them. And Paul says, look, therefore watch and remember, verse 31, that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Look how hard he worked to make sure that the word was kept in their lives. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Look at that. Which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Why is the word important? That's what he taught them. That's what he commended them to. And it was the word that was going to bless them in the end. And he wanted to make sure they clung to that word. And we'll close in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy. He warned them. He said, you know, he was leaving. He warned them, when I'm gone, he said, the attack is going to be on the word you guys know. And this is how it's going to happen. And don't forget, he said, what I did to make sure that the word never left your minds. So he told them. Simple, right? That's exactly what Jesus Christ said. God, I've given them thy word. You know, take care of them now. He was going to. That was near the end of his life. He was going. I've given them thy word. You take care of them now. I know they're not of the world. I've given them the world word, and the word has hated them now because that. And he tells them to take care of them. Same thing Paul is saying here. I'm leaving. I commend you to God and the word of his grace. And that's exactly what we do with people. We speak the word of God. We don't preach ourselves. Boy, that would be miserable, wouldn't it? Can you imagine preaching yourself? I can't imagine preaching myself. 2 Timothy 3:1. This know, verse 1, that in the last days perilous times shall come. This is the church when it was in its downfall. We know that. Near the end of Paul's life, too. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. That ever happened today? Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents? I always thought that was interesting. That was right in there. Among all these other evil, disobedient to parents. Where does it all start? If you're teaching your kids the Word of God at home, they're obedient to you. Well, they're going to grow up knowing the Word of God. Disobedient to parents is probably the cause of many, many evils in the society. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. All this results from not having the Word of God be made known to people. That's what happens. You look around you in the society, what do you see? Don't you see all these things? Is the Word front and center in society? No, these things certainly are. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly or harmless women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And then it talks about Jannes and Jambres, which withstood Moses, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all, as theirs also was. But thou, Timothy, who is despite all those things that are in the society and the world and even amongst believers, it is, some of this stuff was happening amongst believers, it still happens today. But despite all that, he goes, Timothy, he goes, you have fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came out unto me. Again, he's talking about all the things that Paul was attacked by at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You can count on it. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You know, he doesn't paint a very... This is not a... Every time I read 2 Timothy, it is not a real blessing to read some of this stuff. 1 Timothy is great. Things going really well with the church. Wonderful. The Word of God moving. 2 Timothy, years later, not so great. Things are bad. And he's saying, Timothy, look what's happening all around you. And you look at what happened to me, Paul says, look what happened to me. I have all these afflictions, the Lord delivered me. And you know, Timothy, and this is, because he was about to leave. He's dying. Paul's about to die. He says, you know, Timothy, how God delivered me. I stuck to the Word. And that's exactly what he's telling Timothy to do. Verse 14, but continue thou, despite all these things, and the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. How important is the Word of God in your and my life? The pure, unadulterated Word of God. He goes, Timothy, the reason you can stand is because you've had the Word of God in your life from a child. Which are able to make thee wise. The scriptures will make you wise. You don't need anything else. The scriptures will make you wise into salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. It's the Word that we need. It's the Word, Word, and Word, as we used to say. Right? All scripture, and we know this verse, and it's great to see the context of the verses in, isn't it? We know these verses, but the context is incredible. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, fully furnished unto all good works. You want to be ready for every situation, family, business, life, whatever you're in. Get to God's Word in your life in that area, and the Word of God says you will be ready for it. You will be ready for it. You get rid of the Word of God, and we're going down the wrong road. You don't guard the Word in your life, and you're going to be that you're going to notice the effects in your own life. But you keep the Word in your life, and he says, Timothy, you'll be ready for anything that ever comes at you. And that's what he told him before he was leaving. And in the last part, chapter 4, verse 1, I charge you, therefore, he goes, before the Lord, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who are different people, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the Word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure a sound doctrine. Wow. We're just talking the other day about the lack of logic in the world today. Sound doctrine does not go into an unsound mind very easily. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. This is 2 Timothy. And shall be turned unto fables. But he goes, don't you do it, Timothy. Watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered. Here he is. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the right way of believing. Which was what? To teach the gospel of Jesus, gospel concerning Jesus Christ. He had kept that. You know, that's really the same purpose of your life and my life. You know, it's pretty simple. purpose of our lives is very clear. You carry the Word of God with you wherever you go. You carry a knowledge of all that's been done by Jesus Christ for the world. You know, and there's a lot out there that's going to go against you. We just saw it time and time again. The attack is always on the Word of God in your life. Yet, that shouldn't stop us from getting to the Word. It shouldn't stop us from speaking the Word, from studying the Word, from hearing the Word. It should encourage us. Because it says there, if you live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution. You can count on it. So don't be afraid or alarmed or when it comes at you. You know, when contracts are cut or businesses are just attacked or whatever comes at you. You know, don't be alarmed. Because the attack is on the Word of God in your life. Be aware. It's a solemn warning to us in God's Word of one of the key things the devil uses his subtlety for is to attack the Word of God and to rip it out of people's lives. So let's be aware and be conscious and guard the Word that we know. Okay? God bless.